The great thing about what we do is you just never know when you show up to work in the morning what's going to happen. And you never really know when a press conference starts what's going to happen. You never know when a news advisory comes out, how it's going to begin and how it's going to end. And boy, did we see something that I did not anticipate happen today in the city of Fargo. 701-271-1100 is the phone number. I'm going to get right to it today. Was the chief out of line today? Was the media out of line today? I want to know what you think about this. 701-271-1100. We plan to come on at 4 o'clock and do our normal show today, but after that press conference that we had earlier today down at City Hall, and after it developed the way that it did, I went down the hall to Addison and JT, our operations manager, said, I think we should start the show early today. What do you guys think? And here we are. There was a number of media people in the room today, and they were not just asking questions, but they were making points today. Maybe you'd say the media isn't responsible for doing that, but I think there's a little bit of history here that is coming to light. And I think the chief felt like he was on his heels the entire time today. And at certain points, he was being cut off by reporters. He was cutting off reporters. There was an animosity between the chief and the media today. All of them, I felt, that I have not seen. Well, I shouldn't say all, but most of them that I haven't seen before. And it's very odd to see multiple media members willing to say, what's going on here? And in a sense, willing to call him out. And not just about doing advisories, but also just the willingness to show up and do your job. The best moment of the whole press conference was at the very end. Matt Hansen from WDAY-TV says, shouldn't you be in on a Sunday when you've got, you know, two murders by gun death in downtown Fargo overnight? He said, what, people can't have, Chief goes, what, people can't have a day off? And Matt goes, oh, I was off yesterday. I came into work. And then I went and coached softball afterwards. And the chief, oh, congratulations. It was like watching a Bill Belichick press conference. You've been to one of those NFL or watch one of those NFL press conferences where the media is like, you know, why can't we throw the ball anymore? Why is your defense not able to stop anybody? And these things turn into fights. Today was as much of a fight as it was a press conference. And I was left shaking my head going, oh, my word. And I am left to wonder, the chief does not enjoy overwhelming popularity in this town already. I don't have any polling. But there are people that have concerns about him. And after today, with a comment about what can't somebody have a day off, I think that's going to be the statement that sticks with him. And may, I don't even know if it'll be the end of anything, but this is going to be hard for him to shake. When the media members are there in the room saying, we just want to know. And it's 5:30 at night, and this is, you know, well after 12 hours past the events happening overnight. And we still don't really have any official statements. And we don't have anybody in front of people saying, hey, here's what we know and telling you what we can tell you. It felt a little bit to me like we had media members saying, Chief, I don't know. It doesn't seem like you care very much about the job here today. And I don't remember seeing a press conference like this anytime. In my, what have I been here, 25, 30 years in Fargo, this was as confrontational as I can remember hearing or seeing a press conference. All right, it's 3:20 here, so we're joining the conversation here today. I want to thank Jay Thomas for having some local coverage here for a few minutes for us after that press conference was done. And we're going to devote as much of the show today as we can, basically all of it, to just be an open line conversation today. I, as you can probably expect, you know the drill. I typically start preparing for the show right around 3 as I'm doing my other things during the course of the day. So I haven't prepared anything today. So 271-1100 might be the only preparation we're going to do today. I would love to hear you tell me your observations about what's happening. You can bring any perspective to this thing that you want. But I want to know, do you think the chief was out of line today? Or do you think media members were out of line today? Or did they both do what they had to do? 701-271-1100. Let's start with Charlie in Fargo. And Charlie's first up. Good afternoon, Charlie.
Hey, I am pissed. I am upset. That arrogant SOB, he thinks we all work for him or something. And he works for us. He makes $150,000 a year. He's a salary guy. When I was in the military, I was a salary guy. If something bad happened or something, not even remotely like shootings, I had to come in. And I would come in. That's his job. And the way he talked to the public and the press was embarrassing. He needs to be fired now. And I'm tired of this group thing, too. They keep talking about groups. Well, what group? Was it a group of white people? Was it a group of black people? Was it a group of homosexuals? They know it was gang members. They know it was gang members. And if this police department doesn't have a finger on what gang members and when associated gang members are in town, then we got a bad police force. And we are not safe in this community then. And that's my big thing.
Yeah.
It's time to get rid of Mahoney, and it's time to get rid of this chief. I have no confidence in him. And I know people on the police force that have no confidence in his DEI practices and his sort of social justice policing that he's doing in our community. We need to get back to law and order.
Charlie,
that's my two cents.
Yeah, thanks for the call. I came away, Charlie, feeling like this was an attempt by Chief Cebulski to say, this is no big deal, let's move along here. And he has all these statistics, right? And I was listening to him say, you know, this is like the first shooting death or whatever that we've had in Fargo. I'm thinking to myself, it feels like there's a shooting every other day in this town. Maybe he's got statistics that say it's not as bad as we think, but it doesn't matter what you think it feels like. If the community is telling you that we don't feel safe in this town and we feel like things are falling apart by the day, you've got to understand where you live and who you are serving, to your point about who works for who, and say, you know what? Maybe I don't feel like this is that big of a deal, but I better go in and say something and just let people know that I care about this, because it felt like didn't think it was a big deal and didn't really care all that much. That's just my impression on that, Charlie. How do you feel about that?
What happened to that surveillance system they had downtown too? They wanted all those cameras downtown. I just feel like we're following like the Blue City pattern of this sort of social justice, soft law. You know, and I don't think Cebulski boxes street officers. I know some of them. They're frustrated with him. His tactics are poor. He's more of a politician than he is a police officer. He needs to go. I have no confidence in him. And he's totally condescending to the public. We just go back to that 3B1 thing that happened a couple of weeks or a month ago or whatever heck it was downtown. Those police officers were not trained. You come up on someone that's high on meth or whatever he was high on, you take tactical stance around him, you have spacing, and then you secure each one person, each should have secured one arm each. And that would have been a different situation. But there's a lack of training. I think they're focused on DEI policies, and the public's going to pay the price. We're going to get the ones who are going to get shot downtown, you know, by a stray bullet or something. And it seems like we're more accepting to gang activity in town than we should be. Gang members should be harassed if they're in Fargo. That's what I think.
Yeah, you know, Charlie, thanks. Yeah, thanks for giving a call. Appreciate the passion, and thanks for joining us here on the program here today. You know, it was mentioned to me earlier today. I forget where I heard this, but someone had mentioned to me that, you know, there are ways that law enforcement can, like what Charlie said earlier, can kind of harass gang members, people that they feel like are up to no good, and just be on top of it. To me, it goes back a little bit to the funding, and I've said this for a long time. We need to have enough cops to be able to do the job, and maybe to do the job means you have enough where you've got some spare people who can just make life miserable for the people that are in this community who would wish to do it harm. All right, that opens up a phone line for you, 701-271-1100. Was the chief out of line today? Was the media out of line today? It was as adversarial as I remember. Leanna's online today from Grand Forks, and she joins us here on the Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line as well. Hi, Leanne. How are you?
Yeah, hi. Hanging in there, but I'm a little bit worried now after hearing the program. And I'll tell you why. Even though I don't keep up with things like you do and I have a poor memory for names, I can tell you that about a month ago, Brand Forks was having daily shows, we were unconsciously jealous, I think. We don't want to admit that we think Fargo is a sophisticated and better town. But anyway, we were upset because you stole our chief of police and we had to get a new one. Well, now I'm glad we got rid of him now that I found out what he's really like today. It's really scary that our officials in the state are so incompetent. I don't feel safe with the police anymore or anything now after hearing the show today. So that's about it.
Leanne, did you think that the police chief was out of line today the way he
Absolutely.
Handled the press conference?
Totally unprofessional. And notice should have gone out immediately on all the radio programs.
Sorry, notice should have gone out about what?
About the issue. That there are shooters on the...
I see what you're saying. Was the media out of line to follow up over and over again, basically about the same question they had about where were you, why is it taking so long for you to be in front of us today?
No, they were dead on.
Okay, so chief out of line, media did its job today, and you're saying I'm not so sure. And it says that you're from Grand Forks. Do you live in Grand Forks or Fargo, Leanne?
Grand Forks.
In Grand Forks, okay.
Like
so,
I said, we've been having shows about you taking our good chief of police. Well, he doesn't sound so good to me.
Well, this guy came from, Zabolski came from Beloit, Wisconsin. I think we took the fire chief maybe, but the police chief came from Wisconsin when he came here. I think maybe.
Okay, well, I'm still horrified and don't feel
sure.
safe in North Dakota anymore.
Yeah, I gotcha. Thank you, Leanne. I appreciate you giving me a call. 701-271-1100. You can also text us 701-237-1590. 701-237-1590. Special edition here of the Steve Holcim Show starting early today because what we saw today at City Hall was unlike anything I have seen in my, well, when did I get here? 98. So 08, 18, almost 30 years. Don't remember seeing anything like that today where it was. Clearly, the chief knew that he was going to get tough questions today, and I thought he was defensive. Maybe not right from the start, but certainly as time went on. And there's a lot of questions out there I think that people are still very interested to know. Are there two murder suspects out there or just one? And I felt like Tim Mahoney was trying to defend the chief the best that he could today. By saying, you know, we try to get information out as fast as we can, but boy, when you hear the questions coming from various media outlets that are saying, you know, where are people when we want the information? And there's no question about it. When an official statement doesn't come out until well after 12 hours past the event, that to me is a sign that there's just sort of a downplaying of the issue. Like, this is no big deal. This is whatever, two people shot. But again, you've got to know where you live and you've got to know what your community thinks of you. And you've got to rise above any feelings of being personally attacked. You just got to stay above all that fray. And I think we found out today what happens when you let yourself get emotional and frustrated with people that are going the other direction there. Because it's clear that Zabolski is trying to tell us there's not a problem here. And I just don't know that Fargo wants to hear that there's not a problem here. So you might have to say, I get it. I understand. The numbers say one thing. But at the end of the day, if you are concerned, then I am concerned. And we have a saying in the human resources world when you have to have tough conversations, begin and end with a positive or begin and end with reconciliation, building bridges, kumbaya, everybody can all get along. But you make your point, but you have to start and end with something. And that today should have been, we get it. We probably should have been out here earlier. As we looked at it, it didn't seem like it was as urgent a situation. Now looking back, I understand the concern. We're here today. Thanks for your patience. We've been trying to work on this and get our information together. Thought we were doing the right thing, but we work for you, the people. Because Ken Duffy was right about it. It's not about the reporters. It's about the city and the people that live here want to know a little bit more. And maybe Dave Zabolski is, you know, in Beloit, Wisconsin, maybe things are different. But Tim Mahoney's from here. He knows, and he's got to be the guy. And I'm not going to, a lot of people say, oh, Tim Mahoney's just on his way out the door and he doesn't care anymore. I think that's unfair to him, but it brings up the question when you've got the police chief saying, kind of dismissing so much of what's going on. The mayor has an opportunity there to say, hey, Dave, look, get in front of the people some way, somehow. And it's been speculated that Zabolski was on vacation or spent some time out of town. There's nothing wrong with that. He can have his day off and he can go out of town. He can do whatever he wants to do. We're not expecting that he's going to be there 10 minutes after it happens. But you have to have a number two in place, right? An assistant, a public information officer, somebody, or the mayor, if nobody else, that can say something. And I think the point I heard a couple of the reporters saying is, like, this is, you know, hours and hours and hours. It's like a full day after all, 36 hours after all of this happened. And now we're finally getting something in the afternoon, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. It's just way too late. Mahoney's got to know better than that. He does. And if the city commissioners aren't typically involved in these things, they got to be calling the mayor. They got to be calling the chief. Somebody saying, hey, here's what we know right away. I don't expect John Strand and Michelle Turnberg to have a press conference to talk about it. It's not their job to talk about all this. But someone's got to be willing to understand and not be so tone deaf on this whole thing to feel that people aren't going to care when you have got two people that have gotten shot within a span of a few hours. We don't know if it's one murder suspect. We don't know whether there's two. In those cases, get in front of people and admit that, hey, look, we're a little later than we wanted to. We apologize for that. We were out of town. We tried to get back as quick as we can, but we couldn't get back until X amount of time. And if Chief Zabolski is not able to be there today, which is yesterday, then you have whoever your assistant chief is, get out and do what you can. If it's a big enough deal, you maybe have to end your vacation early. We've all had to do that, and it sucks, but you have to do it sometimes. Roger in West Fargo's next up, and he wants to talk about this as well. We're just kind of blowing out the format today, and this is a sort of an opportunity for you to give us your opinion on how. Not you. We don't want you to be an expert on anything. You don't have to have any facts or statistics. I want to know how you feel today about your city, if you're a Fargo resident, about your chief, about your mayor, about your media. Was anybody out of line today? Did anybody do a really good job doing what they did today? Would love to hear from you, a little bit of report, Connor, on that. Roger, good afternoon. Welcome to the show.
Good afternoon. I wanted to say that the chief police, as far as I'm concerned, was vague, and he was also very rude. But the big question that I was asking is how come nobody's mentioning the judge that turned that man loose after he had pulled a gun on and robbed two different people at the point of a gun. You know, my education on the law is that if you have a gun in a crime, that's a federal offense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even if it isn't a federal offense, it's dang sure a felony, and that carries at least 2 years. Go ahead.
I'm listening to you. I don't know that that's true or not. So I'm gonna go with what you're saying there. So, there's a lot of information here that people want to know, and I think these are all very fair questions, Roger. I think you're right to bring them all up.
Well, apparently the judge. I mean, that was already what the report was that when they did the background check on him. He had, a year ago, had robbed two people at the point of a gun. And as far as I'm concerned, anybody who pulls a gun needs to go to prison and
that's
not
right.
Get 45 days.
Yes.
Not get 45 days. That's all he got.
Yeah,
45
you're
days.
Right. It's, I mean, the technically, you pull a gun on somebody and it's an assault. You don't have to do anything with the gun, but you act in a threatening manner toward another individual. That is assault right there. And when it's with a firearm especially, look, we all get, I think probably you and I, Roger, are Second Amendment guys. And I say the more guns, the better, to be honest with you, because if we got them in the hands of law-abiding citizens, we at least have some deterrence. But when you act in an irresponsible way with your gun, every Second Amendment supporter will tell you that that's wrong. So don't try to give us this whole thing about, well, the guns are the problem here. When it comes to this particular situation, you've got a guy that, as you said, had a sentence that got pleaded down. I don't know how you plead down a felony to a misdemeanor anyway. That, to me, doesn't make any sense. But apparently there's a process for doing that. I called Drew Wrigley, the state's attorney general, today, asked if he would come on. He said, Steve, too soon. We'll be happy to do it at some point, but there's too much still fresh and new here that he wanted to wait a little bit. I'm like, okay, it felt like this is a chance for you to, you know, pound the table on something you've really been working on for quite a while. But he just, for whatever reason, didn't want to do it today. But I think this is a big question about this particular individual and how many others are like him that have, you get something that's 2-year sentence down to 45 days or whatever the parameters are. And I say this all the time on this program, that you need good cops and plenty of them. You need good judges. You need good jails. You need good laws. You have to have all four of those things. And if we're just going to say that everything can be pleaded down and, well, the jail is a little full, so we're going to say, you know, 45 days is fine and hope it doesn't happen again, then you're just asking for trouble.
Yeah, I'm sorry to go off like that, but that judge should be fired. I that's all I'm saying. He should be impeached or whatever, you know, however the process goes. That's just ridiculous. I don't care how. Yes, he's got an attorney, but the attorney doesn't create the sentence.
Mm-hmm.
It is the judge.
Yes. Yep, that's right. Now, the judge has leeway, right? And there are laws about what judges can and can't do. And so if your concern is with the judge, well, then you've got to say, okay, did the judge do what he was allowed to do? And if he did, then we might not like the judge, but he was acting within the bounds of what he could do. And then you go back to, do we have the right laws? So I guess you just have to figure out where, you know, what those lines were, and did he cross any of them? But I agree with you. There's plenty of irritation to go around for a lot of different people today. Roger, hey, thank you for giving a call. I appreciate you, chiming in on
thank
it. You bet.
Bye.
Good stuff today. Thank you, Roger. All right, that opens up a phone line for you, 701-271-1100, 701-271-1100. I have all kinds of questions today. Was the chief out of line today, and why? And I'm going to ask you to, if you don't like the chief, I get it. I don't like him. I don't dislike him. I think sometimes it feels to me like he diminishes some things, but I don't know that he's a bad guy. I don't know that he's a bad cop. I hear, well, behind the scenes, cops will tell you. I don't know any of that. I don't have friends that I hang out with outside of work that are police officers, so I just don't know what the impression of it is. I did not like the whole thing about the kneeling in Beloit, Wisconsin during George Floyd, like most of you. But I'm not going to say that because of that, he can't be a good police chief to me. It puts him on my kind of woke radar, sure. And when I see the cop cars driving around with, you know, committed to inclusion or whatever, to me, that doesn't seem to fit what law enforcement is all about. Law enforcement isn't an inclusion business. It's a law enforcement business. And you have laws and you have cops and you have bad guys and you mete out the justice according to the rule book. I don't know what inclusion has to say about that, but I'm not, even with those things there, do I say, well, this guy can't be a good police chief. I don't know that. I don't. So I'm going to give the guy a fair shot. I've had a chance to interview him a number of times. I've not found him to be, I've not heard him or I've not seen him be dishonest about things. I think he downplays things too much. I've said that earlier in this program already. I feel like a little too dismissive at times for different things, but I'm not convinced, or I'm not, I don't know enough to say if he's a good chief or not. And chances are you don't either. But what we can do is we can look at what we see here and we say, this situation was not handled well. Doesn't matter what you thought you were doing, what you had hoped to accomplish, what your personal opinions are, you work for the people of that city. And the people of that city are spooked. We're a little freaked out because we keep seeing more and more of these things happen. And I don't know how you categorize different things. And the chief has got all these statistics, and he's probably right about them. But I don't know. Are some things categorized a certain way and they didn't used to be? That I don't know. But there's no question that we're seeing a lot of things changing here. Maybe it is all following our growth. But when you have as much as that's happened in this town for as long as it's been happening, and you're starting to see these trends where things are just getting out of hand, it does make you worry a little bit about where your city is going. And I particularly don't care if there was, you know, a stabbing, a guy drove through a crowd of people, and a shooting. We just know what it feels like in our bones with this city, and it's getting worse. And I give the chief credit for the times when he said, okay, look, here's the numbers, here are the statistics. We've had this many more people, and we've got this much more crime. I think he's made a lot of valid points about that. But it again goes back to, what do the people of your city feel, and what is their mindset? And right now, the mindset of the people of Fargo is, what the heck is going on in this town? And it doesn't help that we're right by Moorhead, who they're having more things now. West Fargo is too. You don't hear much about Fargo as well. But for the chief to say this is a safe community, there's nothing to see here, let's move along, is way too dismissive for the moment at hand. 342 here, Steve Hallstrom Show. Let's take a short break here. When we come back, I've got a couple text messages that have come in. And I want to continue asking the question because I want to hear what you think about this today. Was the chief out of line today in what you heard? Was the media out of line today with what you heard? And we'll recap some of the main points of this, because now we're far enough past the event where a lot of people didn't hear it. We'll give you some of the key moments to replay a part of that, especially toward the end when we as we continue along the way here on the show today. 701-271-1100. Steve Hallstrom Show. Be back right after this. If you're just joining us, we are beginning our program a little early today in light of the events of the weekend, and in particular, the press conference that was held at City Hall a little while ago today. The story goes that the news updates and developments are as follows. There was a pair of shootings overnight, late Saturday night, early Sunday morning in Fargo. Four people altogether shot, two of them dead. And it was pointed out by Kevin Flynn this morning on the Need to Know Morning Show that we had more homicides by gun in Fargo this week and then they had in Chicago. Chicago had one, we had two. And it's sort of a wake-up call. It seems like kind of a quiet weekend for Chicago, but it is what it is. And so today, in light of all of that, there was a press conference held at City Hall to sort of recap the events of the weekend. The problem is that a lot of people in Fargo are upset right now that it took so long for the chief, the mayor, pretty much everybody in leadership with law enforcement to address the public. And the chief said in the press conference, we asked about it today, he said, well, we put out information as soon as we knew what was to be shared. And it was pointed out, but that was at 5:30 yesterday afternoon when there had been the shootings were in the early morning hours. So well after 12 hours later. And the chief basically made the point that we got everything out as soon as we could. Media said, I think the people of Fargo are telling you, though, that it was way too late. And there's nobody answering questions in person. There's just statements. When people want to hear from the leaders of law enforcement, the voices of reason, the voices of calm. So that's kind of what happened today. It was what led to the press conference, but it also sort of became the storyline of the press conference. As far as high points from the news conference today, the chief says, There's one person that they've named as a suspect, and they do not know if there is a second suspect, or if they know, they're not saying it. They're not releasing that right now. That's part of the investigation. But the chief did say that the two shootings, they happened within about a half hour of each other. And they're basically because of a feud between two groups of individuals. And he is not saying if it was gang activity. He's not saying anything about who the groups are, what they have in common, if there's a fight for anything, like what if these groups are known to each other and it's an ongoing feud, why are they feuding? There was not a whole lot of conversation about that today. He said that the feud is kind of why this situation escalated, and it's been going on for some time. The details go like this. A 19-year-old man, a Fargo resident named Azeem Holmes, was shot in the 50 block of Broadway North. Now, this was kind of the bar closing time late Saturday night. And there were two other people that were injured in that shooting, a 21 and a 23-year-old. They were not named because of the active investigation. Now, to me, that makes me start wondering, okay, well, does that mean then that, you know, that this is, they don't want the names out there because they're gang members? I don't know any of that. But police have identified a man named Tyreek Jones of Fargo, 20 years of age, as a suspect, the suspect they have in that shooting. Now, there was a whole lot of conversation about him and his past because back a year ago, he was involved in some in a different situation there, and had his sentence basically pleaded down from a felony to a misdemeanor. So the question is, why could we have done more about this if we would have known that this was a person that was dangerous? Or if we knew that, why was he on the street? Why did we not do more to have a stronger sentence? If you pull a gun on somebody, it's a pretty significant thing. And as you go through this story, pretty much all the people involved here have some other prior situation that they were involved with. So this is a group of people that, generally speaking, struggles to keep themselves out of trouble there. And then there was another shooting, the second one, about a half hour later, early Sunday morning. And that one resulted in a fatality as well. Another 20-year-old man named Elijah Hughes, who was found deceased. And they do not yet have an identification on the shooter. They don't have a suspect there, at least as of the press conference 2 hours ago. So that's what we know. That's a little bit about the details of the event. It sort of took on its a new life of its own today in the press conference when the chief was asked multiple questions about the way that information was meted out here. And I know that in, I don't know if anybody else's newsroom around town feels this way, but I think ours feels like, even though there are, 12 people on the communication staff, it's difficult to get information from this administration. It just is. Now, I don't know if it's justified or not. I'm just telling you, this is what our news team has hinted at times. Like, it's tough to get information here, tough to get people on short notice. It never used to be this difficult. I don't know if that's the way it is around the city, but my guess is we're not the only ones who have noticed that. Now, again, that might just be the way things are, but it's been a concern that many people have had. So with that as the backdrop, then they meet today. They have a press conference, and the chief is telling them, we got out what we thought needed to get out when it needed to get out there. And the media is saying it was too long. It was 12 hours after before there's any statement at all, and people don't know what's going on. And I think that's very fair. And then there was also some concern about, hey, if if we're here and it's lunchtime the day after and there still has been no kind of public appearance by the police chief or anybody in the administration to tell us what's going on, it doesn't seem like it matters all that much to you. And then the chief says, well, can't a guy get a day off? And then one of the reporters said, well, I was off yesterday, but I got called into work. And it was not a good moment, I don't think, for the chief, one that may stay with him for some time. All right, we're coming up on top of the hour here. We're going to begin the Steve Hallstrom Show, kind of the full refresh start right after we do top of the hour news and weather. More on the Steve Hallstrom Show after this. Here we go with what is supposed to be our number one of the Steve Hallstrom Show, but we started early today because of the story that everybody is talking about in Fargo, the shootings overnight on Sunday or Saturday night into Sunday morning. Two people ended up dead. There are four people that were shot altogether. They have a suspect in one of the shootings. They don't have a suspect in another, or if they do, they're not linking the same suspect to the second one. And we had the police chief today at about 2 o'clock hold a press conference on these two murders that happened a little more than 24 hours ago. And the press conference started out as a conversation where the chief and the mayor and the chief's kind of number two, Bill Offelt, filled in the reporters on what happened and made their first public statements. They put out text messages, emails, that kinds of thing yesterday at many hours afterwards. And the conversation turned from here's what happened, here's what we know, to the media getting after the chief and saying, why didn't you have more information earlier? And why are we here at 2 o'clock on Monday and all this happened on Saturday? People don't know if it was safe to go downtown. The media got after the chief. The chief cut off the media. It got as adversarial as I remember. I said as I began the program about 3:15 today, I said, I feel like I'm watching an NFL postgame press conference from a team that got beat 42-3. And the head coach of the NFL team, they all carry themselves with a healthy amount of ego, of course, starts fighting with the reporters, asking, why can you not pass the ball? Or why can't you stop the run? Or why did you go for it on, fourth and six at your own 25-yard line? That's what I felt like I was watching. And it wasn't just one reporter that seemed to have a bone to pick. It was multiple that just have issues with how the communication is coming out of the city of Fargo and why the city was as slow as it was to say what it was saying, do what it's doing, and actually go about letting people know what they can tell them. And we get it. Everybody understands it takes a while for people to know what to say, and you don't have all the answers. But just, I think at times of crisis, which most people would say this was a very traumatic incident, even though most people were sleeping at the time, but when two people are shot and killed in the city of Fargo in the same night, this is one of those watershed moments where you're like, where do we live here? What is going on? And so things got very interesting. I'm going to play for you a segment of the press conference, and I don't exactly know where to pick this up, so I'm just going to kind of pick it up in an area here where we've got an opportunity to start hearing from the chief where I thought things got really interesting. This is about the last 10-11 minutes of the press conference where some of the questions got rather pointed. And if you can put up with me, I just got this archive, this recording here. So let me find exactly the spot I want to pick this up. But this is a little bit about what it sounded like with the chief today.
Certainly the guy that got arrested with the gun that fled in the car is a felon. So that's an illegal gun that he was in possession of. And I think as the investigation continues to unfold, you will see more illegal gun usage as this comes together. But yes.
The question there was, do we know anything about the guns? Were the guns legal or illegal? And then the questions continued for the chief.
Chief Captain Bobby Fowler at Valley News Live. I just want to ask quickly, you've been kind of mentioning that groups of individuals involved in these, if they've been known to each other. Was this gang related? And do we know the possible location of, you've identified the suspect, one as Tyreek Jones. Do we know where he is possibly located? And if there's a suspect in the other shooting, how come a name has not been provided yet in that shooting?
Sure. If we knew where Tyreek was, he'd be in custody. That's why we're here today asking for the community's help. The other suspect has not been fully corroborated yet, so until we can corroborate through legal means that we have to follow that he is, in fact, the suspect, we cannot release that information. So as soon as we have that corroborated, just as we do with Tyreek, and as soon as we had it put together last evening, we sent it out to our community because we've got probable cause for his arrest, and early this morning a warrant was issued to support that as well. So that's that process. And I'm sorry, what was the first question? Oh, yes, gang-related. So there's no indication at all that there's any gang relationships. But again, as I said earlier, we don't know the motive, but there seems to be some intense conflict between these two groups of individuals. And I think as the investigation continues and we're able to connect some more dots and share more with the community, you'll see that at this juncture we're not able to say any more about that.
Okay, so let me stop there for just a minute. I've heard some frustration today from people saying, well, if these are people that are known to each other, different groups of people, then it's gang-related. And the chief is saying it's not gang-related. You can have groups of people that aren't gangs that are kind of, quote-unquote, at each other's throats. And so I tend to give the chief a little bit of leeway on this one. Maybe we will know in time, but at this point, his interpretation of this is it's not gang related. It's not what you'd think in typical gang activity. So I do think he makes a fair point there that you can have groups of people that just don't like each other. That is absolutely true. And just because you have people that are shooting at each other doesn't necessarily mean it's gang activity either. They may find out more about that in time. I think only time will tell on that.
Chief Ken Duffy with Flag Family. I had a question about public safety. You know, going back to that other question, it's 36 hours later. You're holding a press conference now. All day yesterday, people did not know if they were safe to go downtown. I mean, there were two different shootings.
There was no information until 5:30 yesterday. What about reassuring the public that they're safe to go downtown, walk around,
and get information out there about the shootings, regardless of what you have?
Yeah, I think we did that in our releases. In fact, the mayor did a release as well, and I commented.
But that,
so.
If I could interrupt you, that was at 5:30 in the afternoon. Sure. I mean, it happened at 2 in the morning. We're talking about 5:30, and there was no information until then.
I think we gave you all the information we could. There isn't anyone here that can ensure anyone's safety anywhere in the world. Things happen. So I don't know exactly what you're looking for, but we've provided as much information as we can, as quickly as we could. And we didn't know, as we were still in the midst of that investigation, what the significance or extent of this is. So there's really nothing more for us to say on that.
Well, Chief, if I could just follow up, I'm not necessarily looking for it for me. It's about the public and their interest in knowing about what's happening concerning their safety downtown.
Right. I think the public is interested in identifying and making sure that those involved get arrested. I think I could talk about the safety of downtown, and just as well as I could make that statement, you would likely mock me in the media for saying, well, if it's so safe, why did the shooting happen? So I think we're talking about a no-win situation and a no-win question, so I'll leave it at that.
Chief, one more.
Next question, please.
Okay, I want to stop there. This is where things got a little bit spicy. So Ken Duffy, who's our news director, I thought asked a question that absolutely needed to be asked about, okay, you know, why did it take so long? Here, it happened at 2 a.m. and it's 5:30 and we finally get some kind of a statement. And the chief gave his answer about we wanted to give whatever it was needed. Now, you could say, well, in the follow-up question, you know, Ken shouldn't have interrupted the chief, whatever. That's going to be everybody's own preference as far as what you think about how style needs to be done there. But it's pretty clear that the temperature got raised in the room about 20 degrees when that happened, and the chief did not appreciate being cut off. You could tell about that, because then the rhetoric got a little bit different, and he said, I could talk about us being a peaceful community, but then you would mock me in the media for saying that. Now, I don't know if the chief was directing that specifically at Ken, and you're going to have people who are going to say, well, Ken works for the Flag, and the Flag is the, you know, the place that doesn't like it, that Fargo hired a police officer, a chief that knelt down during the George Floyd thing, and you've got all of that backstory. I have no idea. I have to believe that people move past those things when you're working professionally. And I don't think that that was anything directed at Ken because of where he worked. But I think he was ticked off that he got caught off in one of his answers, and Ken pressed him on something and clarified his question. And then after that, he said, I've answered that question, then move along. And it's not often that you will hear in a Fargo, North Dakota press conference a chief saying, next question, I'm done with you, I'm moving forward. And then from there on, he had another little dig at Ken, I thought, as they transitioned to the next question.
Carson. KFGO, you, girl. Yes. Any other substantive questions?
Okay, did you catch that? Any other substantive questions? I think he's making a point there that, you know, this whole thing about the timing and how long it took and getting word out to the people, not a substantive question. And it was, I don't know what was going on with he said the KFGO girl, and she wanted to ask something, and then she leaned over to somebody else, and what did you want me to ask? And he didn't know. So it was kind of during that pause that he had this chance to kind of think, how else do I want to say this? And like, okay, any more substantive questions? I thought that was a little dig at Ken there. But it went on, and it got even better, I thought.
Yes, sir.
You may have already answered this question. Are the incidents related?
Yes, they are. They are. We believe they are related, yes.
Okay. And so do we know what the beef is about? And you may have, when you said motive earlier, I don't know. Do we know what the beef is?
We don't know the motive. We don't know that part yet.
Okay. And following up a little bit on what he was asking, what's your message to the public when they are concerned about the perception of Fargo being unsafe or the perception of downtown?
Well, my answer
unsafe?
Is this.
Okay, and here we go. So he is on his toes right now, and he's coming after these things that he thinks are foolish questions. And this is where I think I've heard some of you said earlier in our program, like, the chief did not handle this in a professional manner. I believe this is what people are talking about. Like, he's kind of tired of all this talk. And it's interesting to me that he's taking this personally. Yes, he's the chief of police. We get it. But we didn't expect him to completely eradicate all the crime. So it's almost like he's taking this really personally, that people are saying that Fargo is not a safe community anymore. And I think he was ready to be done hearing that question about this business about Fargo being an unsafe community.
How many homicides did we have before yesterday? Can anyone tell me that answer? None. There you go. We had zero. Our last homicide was December 4th of 2024. So that's 8 months of no homicides. I never saw a report on that anywhere. But there's still a perception, especially in certain areas of town, that people aren't safe. In fact, how many shootings have we had this year up until Sunday?
One.
And that was late July. And then we had the incident yesterday. So for 7 to 8 months, we've had no person shot, and we've had no persons murdered. That's extremely safe. But we have a catastrophic event yesterday. And so you can't apply one catastrophic day to an overall safety of a community. This community is extremely safe. For a city this size, extremely safe. But we do have incidents just like every city does. And yesterday was a very bad day in terms of violent crime. What I think the good news on that is we're starting to put those pieces together. We know that it involves two groups of individuals who we will work through to identify. Everyone and anyone that is involved will be arrested and charged as appropriate. We're not going to leave any holes uncovered on any of that. And we'll continue to take a very aggressive approach to the investigation and send it over to the prosecutor for charges. That's the very best that we can do. And in terms of community safety, this is a very safe city, but I know people have a perception that there are other issues. So we've talked about that a lot, even at our crime press conferences. Our crime is down overall. Last year, 6.8%, down slightly the year before. It's down so far this year. So I can give you that all day long, but I can't change your perception unless you're willing to consume the facts and change your cognition of that information, right? So, again, it's a question of we could debate that all day. And so I don't, you know, I try to stick with here's the factual information, here's my opinion in terms of safety, go from there.
Okay, so again, it gets interesting here because he now is going to give you the statistics. And I listened to him say that. Yeah, how many homicides have we had? None this year. We had one back in December of 24. Well, it's close to being 25, but he's right. It feels to me like we've had people shot and killed. Maybe I'm just imagining those things. The one down in the whatever farms community, there was that. And we have things that happen in downtown. We've got crime. We've got homeless. We had all these things. And I think he's right that we tend to lump all these things together because downtown seems to be a place where you get more of that. But then he gets into, I didn't see you reporting on that. So this is where it started getting really good. Then he's going to ask you, how many shootings have we had? One. So he's kind of trying to lecture the reporters here. But what the chief, I think, forgets or loses track of here is that when you're lecturing the reporters here, and you could hear him, right? You could hear him breathing a little harder, and his pulse is up there. But what you're really doing when these reporters are there trying to ask questions that you in the community and I in the community have, the chief needs to understand that he's lecturing the people of the community. So when he's saying, I can give you the facts, but if you don't want to look at them, you don't want to have to look at them. When people are concerned about the safety of their community, they don't want a lecture. They might listen to your facts. They might want to actually hear, well, gee, I didn't know. Okay, yeah, maybe. But they don't want you to tell them you're a bunch of idiots. They don't want to hear you saying that. And that's kind of how it felt today. So we can't apply one day to the whole thing and say we're an unsafe community. I said this earlier in the show. When you're trying to have a critical conversation with somebody, crucial conversation, difficult, however you want to say it, You can make your points, but you need to begin and end with trying to see them for where they are at, where they are at. And the reporters are not personally bringing, like, you know, I'm mad at you because the city feels unsafe. They are trying to do what you and I want them to do, and that is ask those tough questions. So where I think the chief got a little sideways today is that he started chewing out the reporters, but what he didn't realize is he's chewing out people like you and people like me. Now, there's some that probably don't care, but a lot of people in this community are concerned about what is happening. And the chief's got to know, like, when you're working for the people of Fargo, you can't insult the people of Fargo and expect that you're going to be continuing to work for the people of Fargo for that much longer. All right, there are Addison, I've got about 5 minutes left. I'm going to finish this up here, and we'll make good on our commercial time here in a little bit. But I do want to finish this up fairly quickly. And then Craig, hang on. I know you're waiting to talk about this too, and I want to get you here too. But let's finish this last about 4 minutes up here of the chief's press conference today.
Yes, sir.
If you have an active shooter somewhere,
this is the mayor now.
Shelter in place. Yeah. If you're having people shelter in place, then what do you put out? You put out a notice that they can move out.
They're never bridge alert.
But if the scene is there and the shooter's gone, basically by 7 o'clock in the morning, the suspect's cleared the area. We normally, our protocols, we wouldn't put out any notice because of that. It's a cleared zone. So unless there's a quote shelter in place, then you have to wait for then somebody to say, okay, absolutely, now you don't have to shelter in place. So I don't know what the press is excited about. It was a scene, an action happened, and we're investigating it right now. It's safe to go downtown. Sunday there was like activities going on. Everybody was downtown doing stuff. I think what the press has to remember is downtown's a neighborhood. It's a neighborhood. People are going to be up and about. They're going to be walking their dogs in the morning. They're going to be doing stuff.
Mr. Mayor, why
didn't
somebody on the scene
to
tell us that?
We go through the communications team. We put out a statement, and we did that. So, sorry, I can't answer it any better. Yes, sir, Matt.
Okay, I don't know if you caught that, but there was a question there of, okay, if that's the case then, why not just put somebody out there to say the scene is cleared and things are better? And I didn't hear who the reporter was. It doesn't matter, but this is where it kind of again got weird. The mayor now is jumping and saying, I'm not so sure. I don't know what the press is so excited about. Well, they're excited about this because the people of Fargo care about it. And the mayor lost sight of that really important point here too today.
Oh, I'm sorry, Tasha. Yes.
Sorry, I have just a few questions about the suspect. Mm-hmm. Have you ruled out the possibility that he could be the suspect in this second homicide?
We're not able to comment on that right now.
Okay. Are you aware of any connection that the suspect had with Westwood Estates, the apartment complex
where the second homicide?
Yeah. No.
Okay. And then the last one is that suspect had a previous charge last year. He was charged with he's charged with terrorizing. Mm-hmm. He was accused of holding two people up at gunpoint. That was reduced to a misdemeanor, and he was on a year of supervised probation. He's currently on supervised probation. Are you frustrated that with the kind of pleading down that charge happened for that incident?
Well, we've had a number of these situations lately. I think we might have discussed that, and that's an issue to address, I guess, either with the prosecutor's office or with the judges. But we have had a lot of instances, even the guy that got arrested with the gun's a felon. And so I think there is still an issue with accountability in the criminal justice system here in North Dakota. I don't think that some of these violent people are getting sufficient sentences. They're getting out too soon. In some instances, they're dropped in even without supervision. So much larger issue beyond our control, and unfortunately, we're the ones that have to deal with the outcome of those decisions and our community as well. Okay. Yes,
two
sir.
Questions.
Last question, Matt.
Yeah, I have two questions here. One, you mentioned the number of shootings, number of homicides. Mm-hmm. However, you classify shots fired as a different category. How many of those have we had? Because some may consider them just as dangerous. Just because they miss doesn't mean they're any less serious.
Another good question.
I was shooting at someone, but yes. So shots fired is shooting at a car, a house, something like that. Those numbers have actually, last year were significantly down, and this year on a similar track. So, again, we've had very little gun violence this year compared to other years. Yeah, we're in good shape there. And the other thing is on those, I don't have the exact number, but it's on our website. You could go there and check. We post them every month. And you'll see, because I was just looking at it the other day, in the shots fired category, we have nearly 50% of those cleared by arrest. So, again, a tribute to our technology, the NIBIN system, and our investigative efforts, because those crimes aren't always cleared because they're often difficult. You know, someone fires off some guns or a gun and there's casings and evidence left or something is struck. We don't always have witnesses, so those are difficult cases to clear. So from that perspective, I think we're also doing outstanding from a crime clearance perspective.
I guess the other question is kind of, I know we've touched on this a few times now, just, you know, kind of here we are 36 hours later. I mean, five people are shot in Minneapolis. They're, a couple months ago, their police chief's out at 1 a.m., not with the case solved, but just telling the public what's going on behind the scenes, what the department, mm-hmm. as a leader of this community, don't you feel the public should see you and hear from you a lot sooner than 36 hours?
Not always possible, Matt.
Why is that all not right. possible?
Because we all have off days, don't we? Or do you think I should work 24/7?
I was off yesterday. I came in.
Well, that's
and great. Then coached softball.
Congratulations. All right. Any other questions?
Okay, and that's where it ends. So again, the last thing you hear is another reporter saying, "Look, where were you at a time like this?" And I applaud the media members for continuing to ask this question. They felt like it really needed to be answered. I don't know if a guy answers it once. I tend to, as a reporter, kind of say, "Okay, he's had his say." But to have at the very end it finish up like that was really remarkable, because the mayor's like, are we not intended, or the chief is like, don't we get to have a day off? And Matt's like, well, I was off yesterday, but I had to come in and work. And then I coached softball afterwards. I don't think it was meant to be humorous, but I just was dying laughing after that. And it was, like I said, it was just such a very bizarre press conference, because I've never heard anything like that, where the media were going after the chief. They absolutely were. And some will say the media was out of line for doing it. They beat the dead horse. But I think in this case, you have to say this is such a big deal that, you know, where were you? And he brings up a situation from Minneapolis and talks about where, you know, their chief, it's one in the morning, he's out there having a, where were you? So this was a very, very, very interesting press conference. And I'm trying to figure out in my mind if we as a community, did we get what we wanted out of this? And I think if you're looking for a chief being held accountable for what you do and how you do it in moments of escalating tension, I think you'd say the media was going after him because they felt like you and the community felt like this was that big of a deal. I've listened to this now twice, and I don't believe that anybody is being personal about it. Now, Matt maybe is ticked off that he had to come in on a Sunday, but I don't think anybody's making it personal. So in that respect, I don't think they were out of line. They just said, I want you to talk more about this. And the chief, you could tell at the very end, he was completely done with it. Was the chief out of line today? I don't know about out of line. I just think he's a little tone deaf on what that night meant to our community. Because we've seen little worse, little worse, little worse, little worse. Now we have two deaths shooting from a guy that was in custody for terrorizing people a year ago. And we don't know for a long time if the community is safe, and they tell you the community is safe, but how do you really know? And all of a sudden, here we are more than a day later, and there are some things that the chief did not want to hear about today, and you could tell he bristled at them. And I think for him to say, I don't know why, and the mayor too, I don't know why media members are making such a big deal out of this. We're making a big deal out of this because people in the community feel like it's very important. So with that said, I want to hear from you. That's a recap of where it got good today. Was the chief out of line? Was the media out of line today? And what happens next? We have a lot of ground to cover, and I know we're way behind on getting a break in. We've got a news and weather update here momentarily as well. But open phone lines for you, 701-271-1100. Email studio@flagfamily.com. Text line 701-237-1590. We'll be right back. When you're talking about life insurance, you know that people move around, and every company can have a different policy or different type of benefit structure with life insurance. Have a long-term policy that's locked in for 10, 20, 30 years because your work policy can come and go. It can go away overnight, whether your company goes through a hard time, a change of benefits, or you lose your job and work at a different place that doesn't have it quite as good. DJ Coulter, American Family Insurance, 701-235-6641, 235-6641, 235-6641. I don't think I've ever seen a press conference in the public square when it comes to city officials like what we saw today. I've been through a lot of them where they got contentious in the sports world, where a coach after a game will, you know, go off on reporters, or the people snap in times like that. But I've not ever heard anything happen like that today. It almost felt like it got personal between the chief and the reporters. I don't think the reporters meant it to be that way. It felt like the chief was taking it personally, but I don't know that it was intended that way. I think the questions were just tough, but I thought fair, and I thought our community was fairly well served. Now, you can have conversation about, you know, should a reporter ever interrupt a chief when he's answering a question? That happened today. And I guess it just depends on what your personal preference is. Do you like it? Do you not like it? That's up to you. But the chief to be as, saying, well, you guys would mock me if I said the city was safe. That's where it really started to get interesting here. 701-271-1100 is my question, is the phone number. My question for you is, do you think that the chief was out of line today? Now, you may not like the chief, and I get that. I know many of you don't. And many of you will never forgive him for the kneel down during the George Floyd thing before he ever came here. And he was hired during the whole DEI push, and the Black Lives Matter people had a say in the hiring process. I get all of that, but I want to look at it for what it is today. Do you believe that the chief was out of line today the way he handled those questions? Do you believe the media was out of line today in any way that they handled all of that there? Because like I said this earlier, it felt like a Bill Belichick press conference where it was just a fight, and media doesn't like the coach doesn't like the media, and they're just going to have it out. There was animosity today, and it wasn't just one person or a couple people. A number of media members were very, very direct in basically not just asking questions, but calling out the police chief. Do you want that from your media? Maybe you do, maybe you don't. Curious to hear what you think about that. All right, let's go to the text line here. Texter Justin says, people are surprised that the chief is tone deaf. Where was the chief? Maybe putting a knee down somewhere like he did in Wisconsin. Well, there you go. That's what a lot of people will just never let him forget that. That just bothers him to no end. It bothers me too, but I'm not going to say the guy can't be a good police chief because of that. So to me, those things are not related in any way. From the text line also today, Steve, at the press conference, the media was continuously planting bad seeds with their questions and villainizing the police force. Does that sound about right? Well, so this is why I'm asking. Were they planting bad seeds with their questions and villainizing the police force? I don't think they were villainizing the police force. I don't get that out of there. I do believe that the media members that were there were out to make a point. Most of the time in a press conference, you're asking questions. And you can ask leading questions. You can ask direct questions, probing questions, and all that. But it felt like a couple of times that there were statements being made to the chief that were not questions so much as they were, I want you to answer for why you did this. Now, maybe it's a distinction without a difference. I don't know. Were the media members continuously planting bad seeds? Well, the questions were about where were you? Fair question. The questions were about why did it take so long? Fair question. Why not put somebody up there, even if it's 1 a.m. like they did in Minneapolis? You know, those are fighting words kind of questions. They are. When you say, well, in Minneapolis, the guy was out there 1 a.m. when 5 people got shot, and here you are 36 hours later. So there's a little bit. And Ken Duffy, our guy, was kind of the first one that was kind of on that wavelength too. Like, you know, where were you? Why did it take so long? Why did it take so long for you all to be here? So I don't know that planting bad seeds is the right way to say it, but I would definitely say that the questions were pointed today. They were intended to make points as well as to try to pull information out of the chief. Let's go to John in West Fargo. John wants to get in on this conversation today. 701-271-1100. That's the Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line. I've been to a million press conferences, news, sports, politics, and all that. That was new ground in Fargo for a public service press conference, no question about that. John, good afternoon.
How you doing, Steve?
I'm doing good, John. Thank you.
We all can agree that the chief of police is the leader of the police force. I mean, he's the leader of the police department. And he liked to bring up the statistics of how we hadn't had any murders throughout the whole year. But you have 2 murders in the same day and the police chief is non-existent. I don't think that's correct. I think that's a bad look for him. I think he handled that press conference very badly. I think the press should have pushed him even harder.
Mm.
I think you, as a leader, when you accept the leadership position, you have to take responsibility. You cannot backpedal or, you know, push things off. You have to go out there. You have to take the punches to the gut if that's what it takes. You got to stand up and say mistakes were made or we could have done better or whatever. But I just, as the leader of the police department, that was just horrible. If he was non-existent for the most, in his words, catastrophic event that they've had all year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, John, good points here. I think there has been an effort among various people within the city of Fargo to try to tell us that there's not a problem downtown. There's not a safety problem downtown. There's not a homeless problem downtown. And with our own 2 eyes and our ears and our minds, we look at things and we say, I don't care how you define it, but things need to be better in downtown Fargo. But we're told over and over, we were told again today, that there's not a crime problem in Fargo. And the chief has sat 3 feet away from me in this studio and has said, Steve, In downtown Fargo, the statistics say there is not a worse area downtown than any other place. It's when you consider the size of our community, how it's grown, how much activity there is in downtown Fargo. I'm telling you, the statistics bear out that there isn't a problem. The problem with that is when everybody feels like we're losing our city and we seem to have whatever you want to call it, gang violence, groups of people, whatever. We don't want someone to tell us, no, you're too stupid to understand what's going on. We want someone to say, I get it. I hear you. It feels like you're losing your city. I don't think the statistics bear that out, but I get it. And it makes sense that people would be concerned when these things happen. And when, especially to your point, John, when you have a night like we had on that night, the police chief has got to put aside his warrior helmet about I'm going to convince the world that downtown Fargo is safe. Like, I don't know if he owns stock in downtown or what, but he is so determined to make you believe that things are okay in downtown Fargo. Maybe he really believes that, but when your whole community or a significant amount of it believes that things are not good there, you can't insult them and look down and spit in their face and say, what's the matter with you people? Why are you so dumb? It's the whole thing, like when they say, we have to educate the community. When you hear that, it makes you feel like, screw you, educate me. I know what I see. I know what I feel. I know it with my own two eyes. We had two people who died that night. You can't tell us there's nothing to see here. Let's move along.
Well, I agree. And if it's a perception problem, what is the leader of the police department doing to change that perception?
And I think they are, John. I believe they are. They're deploying, I know, more people, more officers downtown on regular basis. And I talked about this earlier. I went downtown for dinner not too long ago, and we actually had a nice dinner downtown. It was peaceful. I didn't notice a whole lot, and I heard somebody say, hey, they've beefed up police and whatever. That's good. I think there are some good things happening there. But when there's an event like what happens on late Saturday, early Sunday, it doesn't matter what your excuse is, how justified you think you are in just saying, we'll get to it tomorrow. The community wants answers. They want you to act like you care and that it matters to you that this happened in the community. I think the actions of the police chief and honestly the mayor too make it seem like, whatever. The people are just too stupid to figure it out. And that, I think you said early, it's a bad look. John, I got to run because we're short on time, but thank you very much for giving me a call, okay?
Thanks. No problem.
Thanks again, John. Take care. All right, I've got to take one more break. Hang on, Stephen. We're going to get to your call when we come back. A bunch of texts are still here today, too. We're basically blowing up the show today because we want to hear from you. Was the media out of line today? Was the chief out of line today? And we'll play that kind of last 30 seconds of the press conference again as we continue the Steve Ahlstrom Show. Let's go back to the Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line. We are talking today about what happened over the weekend in Fargo and the reaction of the city, plus the press conference today that sort of touched on all of that. And we are inviting your conversations, your comments, your questions about it. My question to you: was the media out of line today in any way? They went back on the same storyline at least twice, three times. Was the chief out of line today with anything that he did or said in response to all of that? Stephen is on the line, and he wants to join this conversation. Hi, Stephen.
Hey, how you doing today, man?
I'm doing good, brother. How about you?
Well, I'm going to say, I'm not a big fan of the media because, they need to kind of check themselves in certain areas. But today, hey, I can't really call them out of line, but I can't call them in line either. And for the chief's part, I'm not a big fan of the chief either, but I know I would not want to be in his position or even have his job. Being that said, the problem that we're having in Fargo is, like you said, people are walking around with blinders on. Yeah, they got a homeless problem. Yeah, they got little wannabe little gangsters that have actually been kicked out of other doggone cities in the United States and come somehow to migrate here in Fargo. This is the end result of the city council basically tying Fargo PD's hands and turning them into glorified babysitters instead of letting them do their damn job.
Mm. There's been a lot of oversight, hasn't there, Stephen, in the city commission? Having the police advisory board and everything else. Yep.
When they was passing out brains, Steve, with all due respect, man, they thought they said trains are doing a Wile E. Coyote right now.
Oh, Stephen, I love it. Some humor to end the hour. I got to go, my friend, because we're up against a hard break, but thank you for calling and thanks for sharing your point. Yeah, there's a measured perspective there. Maybe everybody was a little bit in the gray area today. Hour two of the show coming up next. In every press conference, there are a few words that tend to live on.
I guess the other question is I know we've touched on this a few times now, here we are 36 hours later. I mean, five people are shot in Minneapolis. A couple months ago, their police chief's out at 1 a.m., not with the case solved, but just telling the public what's going on behind the scenes, what the department, mm-hmm. as a leader of this community, don't you feel the public should see you and hear from you a lot sooner than 36 hours?
Not always possible, Matt.
Why is that not possible?
Because we all have off days, don't we? Or do you think I should work 24/7?
I was off yesterday. I came in.
Well, that's
and then coached softball.
Oh.
Congratulations. All right.
Congratulations. Oh. It didn't go great for the chief through most of his press conference, and it probably ended about the worst way that it possibly could have. Joining me in studio, Jay Thomas and Scott Hannon, a little impromptu meeting of the Common Sense Club. Gentlemen, I've never seen a press conference in Fargo like that. When Bob Babich was coaching the Bison mm-hmm. and they had some tough days,
yeah.
there were some press conferences like that, but that was like a Bill Belichick press conference yeah. after an NFL game. It was adversarial from the start.
I don't put any of this on the media.
No, there was not one question that was asked that was over the top or a gotcha question.
They're doing what they're supposed to do. They're asking questions. Hayden, why didn't you tell us more? Why do you wait 36 hours? How do you say Fargo's safe on a weekend where there's two murders? I didn't hear anything from the media that I thought was out of bounds or unprofessional mm-hmm. at all.
Ken Duffy, I mean, he was on my show. He said, look, all my years doing this, and I've worked in Baltimore, D.C., big cities. He said in Baltimore something goes down, the chief is out there right away. That's a big city. I mean, come on, dude. You work 24/7.
I could give you a top 10 list of things that he, in my mind, really handled poorly. I'm talking about the chief. But that business of, do you work 24/7? Somebody have a day off? Like, this entitled, pompous, hey, give me a break. Wow. You don't have to like the question, but you can answer it a lot more professionally than
that.
Yeah,
it was not a good look for him, no question about it. Mm-hmm. So let me say this, though. The media went at him on this issue at least three separate times. Where were you? Was that too much?
No.
Oh, come on.
We want an answer.
Yeah.
Wasn't this the same thing when we lost our officers got shot and we lost one back July of 2 years ago? Wasn't it the same thing? Wasn't it hours before we heard anything? Didn't we go through this same thing back then?
There was a press conference that night.
Slow,
I remember that within a few hours. Anyway, I don't remember how long, but at least it was that night. I thought the same thing, a press release dripping out. I'm like, wow, we're not short of comm staff in the city of Fargo.
$2 million, this is what you get.
Yeah,
isn't that something?
Yeah, I don't know if
we're talking about all this.
They don't work 24. And put the public information officer down on the scene if the chief's sleeping mm-hmm. or, off at the lake or whatever, fine. And I think this chief is very much like he doesn't want his lieutenants talking.
No, he doesn't want anybody talking.
He doesn't want the mayor talking. It's about me.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I couldn't be there, I couldn't be the guy. Here's what I would say about this. Very un-Fargo. Very un-Fargo.
Read the room, buddy.
You might try this stuff in Wisconsin or whatever, but boy, oh boy, is this arrogance just unbecoming a chief in Fargo?
Well, you just had last Friday, a guy walks into a bar in Montana, shoots and kills four people. You got the chief and you got others immediately basically on camera talking to the citizens. Look, there's not a lot the police can say. I get that. It's an ongoing investigation. But the public is worried. They're scared. Okay? Sending out 15 hours later some determined press release, and it's always the community safe. How is the community safe if we have an alleged murderer on the loose that at this point has nothing to lose in life.
And there might be two murderers.
And that's the other
thing.
We don't know. What about all the people that live at the Westwood apartment complex? This hits close to home because Alex's son, my stepson, lives there.
Are they safe?
And they're like, what's going on here? And then for Hollingwood, well, we're not going to release that yet if it's a suicide or a homicide. If it's a suicide, let the people know. You know there's no concern. But now we know that it was a homicide. And you're right, Steve. We don't know if there's two people out there or if it's the same guy. This is really, really bad.
And here's what I would say as far as the community safe. You could use some statistics, and he did. This was also, I thought, condescending. How many murders have there been in Fargo?
Yeah, it's like...
How many shootings have there been in Fargo?
How about the stabbings, the beatdowns, everything else? How about you don't take shots fired and you don't include that in shootings?
That's a really good point.
Well, but I'm just talking about tactics in a press conference. I mean, come on. You know, like you're in the classroom. I know what you are, but what am I? You know, I mean, like, give me a break. Yeah,
very childish.
And I would also say, just as a general rule, when there's been... three people shot in downtown Fargo and another apartment in South Fargo, maybe not the time to say Fargo's safe.
That's right.
You know, if you want to make that case a week from now and review, crime statistics and say, here's why we think people should be more concerned about the facts rather than the perception, great. Don't do it within hours of, three people down and, four people down, two murdered. That's bad timing.
I think what they're trying to do is they're trying to tell people, hey, this was one group of people going after another. This isn't just like random drive-bys at West Acres.
Well, we just heard that today, though, right?
Yeah.
We didn't learn that till the press conference.
Yeah, 36 hours later.
But these were two rival.
If it is, you're opening fire in a public place.
You're right about that. I think when they're – I guess what I'm trying to talk about is when they're in this conference today and they're saying, we think that the community is safe from – like the collateral damage of this particular situation. I think that's what they're saying.
But I get it.
But to finish my comment on this, though, is you got to choose your words carefully. And when you guys have both said, when people don't want to hear that Fargo is safe when these things are happening and we've not had these things happen before. So I think it's a matter of semantics. I think they should choose their words a little more carefully at times like these.
When you have people just opening fire in public, even if these two groups know each other, and they've been feuding, I don't care. The fact is that you have people that just think they can pull their gun out and just start shooting people and shooting at people. A couple weeks ago, gal comes out from the old Broadway and having a couple cocktails, celebrating a friend's birthday, comes out, her car shot up. Do I cower and hide? No, I still think for the most part this is a safe community. But you got some real issues that you need to address. And not all crime happens in downtown Fargo. It happens, and we learned that from this weekend what happened. But there is a lot of stuff going on down there, and they've got to get this figured out. The chief said it, hey, those bars empty out. We have hundreds, if not thousands, of people coming out of the street at once, and a lot of, if something goes down in that bar, it spills out into the street. And he said, I believe it was July, so we started putting more officers down there during this bar close, and there were officers close at hand when this happened. Okay, then maybe it is time that Fargo leaders start figuring out, we need to do something about how the bar close happens in downtown Fargo.
Or increase the presence of law enforcement.
Or increase the presence. But
they say they've done that.
They've done
that,
but the chief said, I don't have enough. I just don't have enough officers. But you got to get that figured out. I have watched multiple videos of closing time in downtown Fargo. Guys, it is pure chaos. It is like you're watching a riot in a big city. It's unbelievable what happens down there in these bars closed.
You'd like to say,
this had nothing to do with, from what we understand, this didn't start in a bar. And that's real quick, and I don't mean to interrupt you, but District 64, and I'm glad they put a statement out because it was made to sound like, from news reporting, that this happened at District 64, and it didn't. This guy was not in there. None of these people were in here. The guy was running by District 64 that was getting shot at, and I think the one that ended up getting shot. So this didn't happen in that bar, but again, when you have so many people piling out of the bars, been drinking all evening, you're going to have problems. It is so bad, and he said this in a conference, that they had to call in Moorhead, the Sheriff's Department, the North Dakota Highway Patrol, because the crowds were so
unruly. They couldn't get control of it with just the Fargo Police Department. You got to figure this problem out, Donner.
Yeah, if you say, and you and I talked about this in the hallway today, well, let's close half of them at 1, half of them at 1. Well, then they'll all go to the one that's open until late anyway. I just don't think there's any real easy way to solve this
by scheduling.
There's not. There just isn't.
But then you know what? Also, you know, you hear the complaints from leaders that it's chaos, Donner.
Yeah.
You're the ones that keep handing out liquor licenses for downtown.
That's true, too.
So you brought this on.
That train's left the station, though. Yep. Deal with the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Give me a heat map. Show me where these incidents are happening and what time,
and layer
on extra law enforcement then. I get there's always good. No chief is going to say, I'm good on officers. I got all I need ever.
No.
They always need more. There's no doubt about that. I actually think what's interesting about this case is if knowing what we know now about these two groups known to each other and this is some sort of rival beef and also the circumstances here. I think that, you know, the facts are on their side related to perception versus reality. But I think we're not talking about that for a reason. We're talking about a police chief who sounded to me like he thinks we're all a bunch of jamokes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and a bunch of hayseeds that I know better than you know. And I've had elected leaders in this town say, I think that guy thinks we work for him.
Yep.
You know, and there is a level of arrogance there that's unbelievable. And that came out loud and clear in that press conference. Not a good look. And if he does have some supervision from the city commission and the mayor has a portfolio, to me, I'm the mayor. I'm putting out a statement saying we are not happy with how that press conference went off. And that will not be tolerated in the future. Some sort of a message where there's been some sort of a reprimand about it. If he does actually have supervisors, I'm not sure he does.
Something else we got to discuss, guys. I know Steve or Scott, you and I talked about this on your show a little bit this morning. I know you originally brought it up. You take a look at the murder suspect that they're trying to find right now, and you find out that this guy was first charged with a felony, plead down to a misdemeanor.
A year ago.
Yeah, exactly. A year ago. Ended up getting 45 days in jail, 6 days time served, 1 year supervised probation. He was still on probation until sometime in September. Why was this guy on the street? And you find out before that, just a couple weeks ago, he was in custody in, I believe, Barnes County because of an incident with Fargo police where he failed to stop, got arrested, got put in jail there, let him out of jail with 5 days of ankle monitoring.
While he was on probation. Wow.
This stuff has got to stop.
Yeah, if you want to find a root cause of this, there's definitely undercharging going on. There's definitely letting them out too early without their sentences filled. We had a whole debate about that during the legislative session, but I think that's even more important because, again, talk to law enforcement about how often they're encountering the same people they've encountered that then have been given a light sentence or let out early. That's the real problem.
Exactly.
I think they need the mayor and the chief need to hire Fieldstone Group to do a little public relations training on how you handle situations like this. They were so dismissive, both of them. The mayor jumps in there. I don't know why the media is so excited about all of this. The media is excited about this because people in your community care about
this.
Right,
yeah.
And when the police chief is not from here, whatever, you can say he should be better. But the mayor has got to be the guy to humor us a little bit. And someone needs to say, hey, look, I get it. This sucks. It feels like we're losing our city. We're going to do everything we can. In the middle of the sentence, you say, now, statistically, sometimes it's easy to overreact a little bit, and the numbers say this or that, but then you finish with the same thing. You say, but we get it, and we've got to do the best we can. We got to see what we can do to settle this down. But I feel like it was a chief and a mayor, and the mayor's jumping in the same way, just saying, what are you idiots talking about? There's no problem here. And they're so dismissive to the people in this community here. It was just you couldn't have handled this more horribly to have no statements at all for 12 hours and then no public officials doing a look in your eyes kind of a thing until 2 o'clock today. They were right to continue to asking. I don't know how many times you needed to ask it, but they were right to go after this today in this press conference and say, where were you during this whole time? And like you said, Jay, if it's not the chief, then send out Bill Offelt or somebody at 3 o'clock yesterday afternoon. It could have been 7 o'clock. We wouldn't, but before we put our heads on the pillow, this is a historic day for all the wrong reasons, and someone needs to act like it matters in the city.
Exactly. And the reporters are doing their job. The reporters are asking these questions and want answers because the public is coming to us, the media, wanting to know what's going on. Do I need to be worried? Why haven't we heard from officials yet? They're asking the media. They're asking us, our reporters, reporters from, you know, Valley News. They're asking. So those reporters are trying to do their job and get the answers to the public. Yeah. It's a sad day, man.
I thought at the end the chief lost his composure, probably should have ended the press conference a little bit earlier, but Matt Henson was going to get in his question at the end, and it was the golden moment from the whole thing.
You're talking about the 24/7 comment.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, that was...
We all get to have vacation. Yeah, nobody's saying you can't have a day off, Chief, but when things that are significant happen...
Here's an angle.
You got to be there.
How about we could have handled that better?
Yeah.
Could have handled that better. You know, there again, this was... Very non-Fargo. This was very non...
Non-North Dakota.
Midwest. I mean, if you ask me, that was a clinic on how not to handle a press conference.
That's exactly
again,
right.
We still don't know if there's one or two suspects out there we're looking for. We still don't know.
Why would we... They've told us who a suspect is. Why do we believe there's another suspect? Because they were asked that.
Yeah. Is there another suspect, or is the guy from downtown
the same guy?
Yeah. And at this point, we can't give that information.
And as the press conference went longer, the answers got shorter. About we can't tell you that. We can't tell you that.
I get that. Some of that investigation. Yeah. Again, just your demeanor and how you handle it.
That's 100%.
I mean, right. I think a lot of the facts are on the side of law enforcement here.
What I don't like is again, I always refer to it as the hot sheets. You go and look at the media outlets, whether it's ours, Valley, or whoever, and the comment section, and all the people that are just ripping on the Fargo Police Department. Fargo Police Department are doing their job. They don't know when somebody's going to go bananas and start shooting, and they were there within moments. Now their job kicks in. This crime happened, and now we go find the information. We find the people involved. We get them arrested. If you want to get upset with the court system and you know, Department of Corrections. That's who you get upset with.
Yeah. From the text line, you have a suspect who committed a crime a year ago who should have been in jail for that crime. They let him out, and a year later he shoots two people. So for that whole year he's out on the loose. Is that a safe community?
He shoots three people.
That's a good point. I mean, again, and the question of whether we're safe goes right back to, are we sentencing appropriately, and are we keeping them in incarcerated, not with, you know, good time, let them out early, or, you know, transitional housing or anything else. I think the listener's got a great point. What do you call a safe community?
Drew Wrigley fought this last legislative session. Yeah. This is the exact thing he was talking about, and he got so much pushback from the head of the Department of Corrections and lawmakers on both sides of the aisle, and this is what he doesn't want to happen, and now it's happened.
And law enforcement would agree with you on that.
Yeah.
I mean, Jesse Johnner was probably one of the leading voices on all of that.
Well, both him and Zabolski, yeah, Chief Zabolski.
I think that's, you know, a good example where we're putting them in a bad position. But I think those are sort of X's and O's of how do you fix this and how do you address it long term. Mm-hmm. I think the chief has made this about him and being antagonizing the media unnecessarily. I think it's just completely tone deaf. Anything was asked in that press conference, I guarantee it was asked anywhere anybody was talking about this.
That's exactly right. And look, I understand it. I mean, I being a police officer, just that alone, the how tough that job is, how frustrating it can be. Now you're the chief of police for which has become a large city. I know it's frustrating. You know that the minute you walk up to that podium, that the press is going to be out there and they're going to want answers and there's going to be tough questions. So before you walk out there, you take a breath and tell yourself, look, I can get through this. Just answer the questions. You don't do what he did today. What he did today looks horrible on the city. It looks horrible on the officers. And the officers didn't do anything wrong. They're doing their job.
There seems to be, at times, a willingness to say, yes, we're a growing city. We have gang activity here. We have increased activity downtown. And then other times, like today, when I feel like we just do not want to admit that downtown Fargo has its own issues and that we have gang activity here. An escalation between two groups of people Okay, what is this, like the Sharks and the Jets on the north side or something?
Well,
and there's there's like a Spartan fans and Bruin fans within the city of Fargo, or Bison and Sioux fans going. Look, at some point, you can't tell us that, no, this doesn't have anything to do with gangs. This doesn't have anything to do with crime. This doesn't have anything to do with downtown. Why do you have your groups of people that are going after each other? I guess it's possible, and I don't want to say that gang activity runs Fargo, but it feels to me like we want to sort of bury our head in the ground and say, I don't care what you see or what you think. These things that you know are seeing and happening, they don't happen here. I felt like that today.
Yeah, well, the other, we're a growing city, and as we grow, you are going to attract people that don't want to conform to society. And we also have two major interstates rolling through our neck of the woods. And we're basically, we're connected to Minneapolis. We're connected to the West Coast. We're connected to Chicago. Yep. And these people are coming up here. They're finding about out about Fargo. They got friends that are up here. Hey, come on up here. This is the stuff we can, you know, you can get away with this up here. They're not tough on crime.
Yeah.
Words out.
Let's go to Travis in Fargo. He wants to talk about this. Travis is on the Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line. Hey, Travis.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. Just got off work. I can only assume I know what you're talking about so far. Just joined in, but I want to say one of the things that I was most disappointed with, I guess, out of this whole thing, was the lack of communication with the Fargo PD. You know, so many people subscribe to their Facebook and all these other social media sites. I don't think it was till late last night or this morning I saw the individual on there that they're looking for. A lot of vagueness was about on there about that. Not great description, not what he might be driving. I think the first one said he was not considered a suspect, and now he's wanted for murder. So it's like, you know, doesn't seem like they were putting out good information from the get-go, and even when they did, it was wrong. Mm-hmm. So I think they really need to improve that, because we don't know what we're out here looking for to try to help the Fargo PD with.
No, you're exactly right, Travis.
It made no sense.
No, you're right. And then, and we, again, we don't know if there's a second suspect.
Travis,
if
thanks for calling.
If there is, get that information out so the public knows, hey, this is the guy we need to call law enforcement about if we see this person.
Yeah, and Scott said it earlier. It's an investigation. We get it. Yep. You got to let the cops do their thing, and they're not going to be able to say everything, but certainly some of these things, say some whatever you can say. And if you're going to give some information about a person, let's give, like you said, Jay, as much as we possibly can so we can sort of start to figure it out.
Without hurting it. And the chief also made the comment, too, hey, this isn't a TV show. We know that. That's not that. We're not asking. We want all the information. Yeah. That's not what reporters were asking.
All right, last question. Is the chief in trouble here in Fargo?
Oh, boy, I don't know. You've got two commissioners that want him gone. You got three that, you know, are on his side. I don't know what today brings. I don't know. The Fargo City Commission meeting is happening tonight. I don't know if this can be discussed because it wasn't on the agenda. I don't know. I don't know.
I think that question is up to the mayor.
Yeah.
He's got the portfolio.
Yeah.
And would also be the third vote.
That's true, yeah.
If I am Chief Zabolski of the city, I put out a statement tonight before the day is done, and I say, during the course of today's press conference, things got heated. It's an emotional time. Our chief, in an effort to defend his team and whatever, you know, lost his cool. Find a diplomatic way to say that, but just Yes, Scott, exactly. They need to turn the temperature down on this one, because that very much got to be us against them when it came to the media, and you're never going to win that battle.
And the public sees that, and they go, yep, see, this is the city and the police trying to control the narrative.
Yeah,
the public sees right through this.
I think it's you know, conducting himself inappropriately as chief of police, and I agree, it ought to be acknowledged.
Yeah, I'm not saying it means to me much, but just something where you say, hey, cause we all do it, right? I mean, that's human nature. You get, and you could hear him breathing heavy.
Oh, I know.
It was, there was a lot there. Gentlemen, thanks for giving us a little time here today, especially on this crazy day, but I thought it awesome to break it down with the two of you, so thanks for being here.
Next time, could you ask some substantive questions of us?
I thought was a dig at Ken Duffy right there.
Oh, I'm like, boy, when Ken got back, I'm like, man, who did you at some time? It's like, holy cow, he looked at you and went off. All right, guys, I got to go. I got to go coach a softball game.
Yeah, there you go. 5:31, time for checking news and weather. When we come back, I've got a dozen text messages that have come in, but what needs to be said about this? I see the phone lines ringing again. What needs to be said that hasn't, or what would you like to dig into on that? that you feel like maybe needs some more conversation. We'll do that as we continue here on the Steve Hallstrom Show. StyleSafe Bath and Shower is locally owned. They've done more than 1,000 jobs locally, and they're veteran-friendly. Lots of experience working with the VA. Stephanie said, I just want to thank you for all your work on my bathroom. You guys did a wonderful job installing my new shower and were a pleasure to work with. I wanted to let you know how much the tub-to-shower conversion has improved my daily life. I don't have to worry about falling while getting into my shower. The seat alone is a life changer. I would feel unstable on the shower chair in my tub. Most people don't have to wonder, will I fall today just to get clean? And now I don't have to worry about that either. I am so thankful. StyleSafe Bath and Shower, that's the place. Go to StyleSafeFargo.com, StyleSafeFargo.com. Philip and Hankinson wants to chime in on the conversation we're having today. And I've been asking you all today, was the media out of line? Was the chief out of line in anything that happened today at that press conference? If you've not heard it, yet that we'll be playing excerpts of that certainly in the days to come. It's available many places. You can go to our website, am1100theflag.com. It's on there too. It's about a half hour long, and it's must see TV. No question about that. Philip, good afternoon. How are you?
Hey, Steve. Thanks for taking my call. I seen you had Jay Boy and Scott in there. I can go back a long ways on this issue. The one that I'll primarily go on is the solutions and stuff are out there. They're hard calls. There's a young lady, Cheryl Tenderlin, knocked on the window of some curious guys in West Fargo, pulled a shotgun out and shot her 3 times, killed her dead. I don't know if Jay remembers that or you do. Anyhow, West Fargo, it took them a couple years. They got the right cops in. They straightened out West Fargo. Fast forward now, it's probably been, 15, 20 years since Cheryl. Now we're back to where we're at. We have an influx of people. Obviously, the chief of police has lost the leadership mantle, so he should resign just out of pure character.
Okay, Philip, why do you say that? Sorry, I don't mean to interrupt you, but you just said something that's very significant. You say the chief has lost the leadership. Tell us what you mean.
Culturally, and as you know, I have an extensive military background. I've dealt with law enforcement for decades.
Yes, sir, you have.
Once you lose that mantle, you can't get it back.
And how do you know that he's lost it, though? That's what I'm asking. How do you know that he's lost that?
Well, the work I did in the past, during that Cheryl Tenderlin incident, I went around like a banshee trying to warn people about the dangers of the influx of communities without proper assimilation and culturalization. And that's what's happened in Fargo. So now we're at that point. How are we going to solve it? Well, that's one of the solutions you can contemplate. It's up to you guys. I'm down in Hankinson.
Yeah.
I've got a house in Fargo yet, but guess what? My wife knows. I warn people. I was a locksmith for a few years in Fargo, too, on the side. And I used to help bust some of the, we had the Bloods and the Crips running around, and I helped get a few dozen of those guys arrested because I just would monitor different neighborhoods.
Yeah.
We had high criminal neighborhoods.
Yes.
What the other question to solve this, I didn't know any of this until I turned on my radio. I've been out working outside. Correct me if I'm wrong, there was a cop shop downtown. They need to, I'm happy to pay enough money to throw that cop shop back up downtown. Downtown, I've not let my wife step downtown in over 12 years. That was even before the shooting. I warned her how dangerous downtown Fargo is. It's terrible.
Yeah, and you're thinking that if we get the police headquarters back in downtown Fargo, that might help, is what you're thinking.
Well, you got to have communal involvement.
Yeah.
The cops need to be out there and about.
Yeah.
But at this point, you've got, last count that when I took the time to look over the situation in Fargo, you have upwards of 10 different gangs in Fargo.
Oh, I'm sure we do.
There's listeners, but wait till you have my 10-year-old son. I was living in South Fargo, South Fargo, where Davies is now. And I moved out of there to a more secure neighborhood when my 10-year-old son was had a 9mm shoved in his face.
Yeah. Well, Philip, hey, thanks for giving a call. Yeah, I got to run, but thank you. So, thanks a ton for giving a call. And I think Philip talks about something that we mentioned right off the beginning. 3:15, 3:20 when we started this show. We started early today just because after this press conference, the whole, like anybody who watched it was just like, what did I just see? So we started early. And it's been mentioned a couple times on this station today. I heard it, I think, on Scott's show earlier today, and I brought it up again, too. But you have to have enough police to control your city. And Zabolski has been pounding the table on this. I think I've been doing the same thing. I think the rank-and-file police have been doing the same thing. But if you have enough cops in your community, you can harass the bad guys to make it difficult for them to be here. You can, and if there's too much heat, if there's too much harassment, if you will, you're going to take it and go somewhere else where you're not going to have all of that. This is why we need to watch our city spending way more carefully than we do and say no to a lot more other things, because if we do the police thing right, we take care of so many other problems. Yes, we got to have the judges, we got to have the laws, we got to have the jails, but we got to have the cops, we got to have enough of them. And when we're strung so thin as a police force and a staff, then you can't do those proactive things to, you know, we know who these guys are. Like the cops know who these people are. All the names that we're hearing, Tyreek Jones and Azeem Holmes and Elijah Hughes. I mean, they know who all these people are. And if you've got a lot of cops and you can do the job, then you can make life difficult for them. And maybe they say, well, we don't want to be in Fargo. Let's go down to Fergus Falls, which, look, I'm not saying we wish any ills on Fergus Falls or Jamestown or Wahpeton or anything. But again, like we say all the time, the job of the Fargo leaders is not to save the world, is to fix your town. So we don't care. I hate to say it this way, we do, but if Minneapolis has problems, that's sorry, we're sad to hear it, but at least they're not our problems. So this is where we need to watch what we're spending our public money on so we can afford lots of cops. We need more of them. Sheriff's deputies, all of those people, troopers and all that, we need more of those people. And if we've got more of those, then we can be more proactive. We can try to chase people out before they ever get set up here. And when we're short on people, it makes it really, really hard to do that. All right, I want to, before we finish up here, actually, let's do this. Let's take our last break here. I've got about 10 text messages, and a few of them are really good, and I want to read them because I think there's some people that have some really good points here. Let's keep the conversation going, though. Phone calls always move to the front of the line. What do you think needs to be said that hasn't been about this subject? When we come back on the Steve Alstrom Show. All right, a bunch of texts have come in, but Leanne is on the line from Grand Forks, and she has a compliment she wants to pass along. And like we say, phone calls always go to the front of the line. Hi, Leanne.
Yeah, hi. No, I'm not a longtime listener. However, compared to what I've experienced recently locally, I must say I'm very impressed with your show. In your station, that the, both the hosts and the guests are very intelligent and mature. So I'm, even though I try, it's hard to pull in your stations sometimes. So I'm going to try really hard because you're really great.
Oh, well, bless your heart. Thank you so much for the kind words. Yep. We love what we do. And yes, I would say our guests and the people who listen to this show they're very smart. There's a lot of really good thinkers on our side of the conversation here. And Leanne, if you are still listening, the radio sometimes can get a little scratchy. We know that. But the mobile app, or if you've got one of those smart speakers, those are perfect audio quality pretty much all the time. So it might be another way to catch us from Grand Forks when the station starts to fade a little bit. But thank you so much for those kind words. All right, let's hit some texts here before we finish up. Justin says, the chief is history. I'd asked earlier with Scott and Jay, is the chief in trouble? And Justin says, absolutely. He is history, in his words there. Boy, that last exchange with Matt Henson at the end of that press conference today was not a good look, and that will stay with him. That's going to be hard to shake that one off. on a day like that. Yeah, everybody gets a day off. We get it. But there are certain times when the community feels like it's being rattled by some of these events. Just to say, yeah, you know, I'm just having my day off. It's going to stick with them. It absolutely is. Brian says, Steve, nobody seems to have figured out that we have a lefty state's attorney who chooses not to prosecute and lets all these criminals loose on our streets. She needs to be held accountable. People are dead because of her. Okay, I got to pay better attention to this. The lefty state's attorney who doesn't prosecute any of these people. Thank you for that, Brian, for sending that note in here. Steve, I don't blame the chief as much as I blame those who have an insatiable appetite to grow the city. We have invited the trouble we have. The growth brings much more than the white-collar workers of Microsoft. The city has lost its innocence. I knew it to have growing up, and it's really sad we sold that in the name of growth. Nothing has gotten better with the growth. Not taxes, not jobs, not home prices. Everything's gotten worse. There was a time that I would have said, oh, come on, dude, get with it. But more and more I listen to this argument. I'll say that there are good things that come along with being a bigger town. If we would be where we were in 1950, we wouldn't have a Fargo Dome. And because of a Fargo Dome, we've had Elton John come here. We've had, you know, rodeos come here. We've had great events. That's one thing you get that's good. You get more restaurants. You get more tourism. There are good things that come along with growth. But growth in and of itself is not a desirable goal. Why do you get bigger? Well, that's because you provide more opportunity. There's jobs that the people can have here. Like, our kids now can stay in Fargo and work and find a job. If we were still the same city we were in 1950, while Minneapolis and Sioux Falls and Denver and Chicago and wherever all had grown around us, we wouldn't have kids or grandkids living near to us. So there's good things here. You just have to manage it well. With growth comes more of everything, more churches, more nonprofits, more schools, more games. If you like to go to high school games, there's more of that. There's more colleges here with sports. There are good things, but there are things that come along with the growth. It doesn't mean that you give up growth, though, because it's not like growth will just make your city fall apart. Find some good cities. Miami, they've had a lot of really good things, and they've grown like crazy down there. So I hear what you're saying. I just don't think we have to give up the good things because of some of the bad things that might come along for the ride. Wow. Well, what a day. It's been a long day, but it's been a good day. Thanks for being with me. I think that we saw a different event today in Fargo with that press conference than anything we've seen before. I do believe that this is going to put some heat on the chief. I think it was a bad look for him today. If I'm him, I come out with a statement later today saying, sorry, I lost my cool a little bit. We're all after the same thing. Didn't mean to be adversarial at all. I know you guys are asking the questions that the people want to know, and I got to handle that better. I think that's what should happen. I don't know if we'll see that or not. I'm not giving up on the chief, certainly not giving up on this town. We'll be back here tomorrow because we're not giving up on any of that. Talk to you tomorrow and keep on flying that flag.